And I'm afraid what I've had to do is postpone our aspects of an effective model of resistance to next week's show, the June 6th show. And I posted with the audio files for these Proudhon shows an excerpt. I hope folks got a chance to listen to it from the November 8, 2015 show, in which we noted strategies for reproducing, perpetuating the totalitarian class system, including keeping us so busy and so separated. Jobs and atomization. When we're kept busy and separated, we can't develop our thought process, we said. But we also can't, and what we're focusing on today, we cannot see the big picture. We cannot know the truth, what's happening to us. And that's changing for many reasons. As we said, we are sharing our thoughts globally. They can't provide the jobs, and more folks are regaining their thought process. More and more folks can sit back and view the system more objectively. And the word is spreading about the actual dynamics, processes, factors that shape us, which have not been discussed until we've had the internet to expedite, speed up this process. These discussions had been intentionally, still are intentionally suppressed. And among these suppressed discussions, that is critical transition to freedom thinking is the thinking of Proudhon's. Lessons from Proudhon. Continuing chapter 5, quote, "Now neither a commercial nor an industrial nor an agricultural association can be conceived of in the absence of equality. Equality is its sine qua non. So that in all matters which concern this association, to violate society is to violate justice and equality. Apply this principle to humanity at large. Apply this principle to humanity at large. After what has been said, I assume that the reader has sufficient insight to enable him to dispense with any aid of mine. By this principle, the man who takes possession of a field and says, 'This field is mine,' will not be unjust so long as everyone else has an equal right of possession. Nor will he be unjust if, willing to change his location, he exchanges this field for its equivalent. But if, putting another in his place, he says to him, 'Work for me while I rest,' he then becomes unjust, unassociated, unequal. He is a proprietor. Reciprocally, the sluggard, and I have to say, I don't believe in such a thing. Sluggishness being disguised resistance, I believe. Resistance to the suppression of our humanness, our authenticness. Continuing, reciprocally, the sluggard or the rake, who, without performing any social task, enjoys, like others, and often more than others, the products of society, and I comment here, with Alice's help, we can say with confidence that this would be a very short-lived problem if it existed at all, under conditions of freedom, i.e. in our world, premised on abundance and non-coercion, that's key. In that world, the joy of having each other again, being able to live our inherent communalism, is the wealth we crave and the children we raise on the milk of that joy and the honey of our resumed mutual aid ensure the continuance of both." Continuing, "The sluggard and the rake should be," says Proudhon, "proceeded against as a thief and a parasite. We owe it to ourselves to give him nothing," and I have to interject again, with power dethroned, we embrace George's message, George Eliot's message, and the Earth's, and offer our bounty, along with our sympathy, to any such as he describes. Only organized, concentrated power is a threat. And with each one of us tapping into the richness conceived of all, that threat can never exist again. There is no coercion in the world of our making. Continuing, sociability is the attraction felt by sentient beings for each other. Justice is this same attraction accompanied by thought and knowledge. But under what general concept, in what category of the understanding is justice placed? In the category of equal quantities. Hence, the ancient definition of justice, justum equale est and justum inequale. What is it then to practice justice? It is to give equal wealth to each on condition of equal labor. And I comment, I would suggest it is to ensure the decentralization of our shared means for existence and for our caretaking. The earth is so rich, and we, once these conditions are established, will each get much more than just a sip. So he says, what is it to practice justice? It is to act socially. Our selfishness may complain. There's no escape from evidence and necessity. And I say here, our selfishness complain, much more likely our starved need for each other and for the exercise of our true power will grow tipsy in the joy and fullness of having both again at last.